Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend. As always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Friday, April 12th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Our first IL placement is second baseman Brandon Lau of the Rays, who was placed on the 10-day IL with a right oblique strain. We're still waiting to hear the determination of the grade of his strain to get a better idea of the length of his absence. Lau will be out for at least the next couple of weeks, with a severe strain keeping him out for a couple of months. Ahmed Rosario will see more consistent playing time at second base for the Rays, heading to the outfield to accommodate Curtis Meade's bat in the lineup at the Keystone versus left-handed pitchers. And our final IL placement is shortstop Carlos Correa, who was placed on the 10-day IL by the Twins with an oblique strain. The Twins are pending an MRI to determine whether to put Correa on the IL, but the probability of the team being without him for a few weeks is high. If Correa were to miss time, Willie Castro would likely play shortstop with Kyle Farmer replacing him at the hot corner. The more fun and maybe equally as probable option is that the team's number two prospect and the eighth overall pick in 2022, Brooks Lee, gets the call. In terms of transactions, Yariel Rodriguez was recalled from the minors by the Blue Jays. The Cuban right-handed pitcher signed a five-year, $32 million contract with the team in the offseason, but he began the season in AAA, where he posted a pristine ERA across 6 1/3 with a 41% strikeout rate. The team is expected to use Rodriguez on a regular schedule in a bulk relief role, but he won't be fantasy relevant until he has a true rotation spot or a late-inning relief role. Our final notable transaction is starting pitcher Nick Lodolo, who will be activated from the 15-day IL to make his season debut against the White Sox. It's a tricky situation to decide whether or not to start him in his return. Lodolo's coming off an injury, and despite topping out at 77 pitches in two rehab starts, he struggled in his final tune-up, allowing 4 runs in just 2 2/3 innings. On the other side, though, he's facing the White Sox, who batted a 35-year-old Kevin Pillar cleanup yesterday. If I were feeling risky, I think I'd go for it. The ceiling is high, but the floor is too real for my taste. In terms of news, the Blue Jays are optimistic that both Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano will join the team in the next few days. Expect them to be closing out games by next week. Yimi Garcia and Chad Green would see fewer high-leverage opportunities with Swanson and Romano on the active roster. Yoan Duran threw a bullpen session and will throw another on Tuesday. It sounds like he could return in early May, which means it may be time to sell high on Griffin Jacks to unsuspecting fantasy managers. Brian Wu and Matt Brash are a little over a week away from beginning rehab stints. We could see both of them back with the big league club by late April, so make sure to clear up a spot on your roster so you can activate them when they're ready to play. Emerson Hancock and Ryan Stanek are likely to be the pitchers to experience the largest reductions in their roles. And lastly, Eduardo Rodriguez had to pause his rehab after feeling tightness in his shoulder. He's likely set for 2 weeks without throwing, which could mean his return is pushed to late May. Ryan Nelson and Tommy Henry will hold on to their rotation spots for just a little longer. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had 14 games as the matchup between the Yankees and the Guardians was postponed due to rain. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Mark Canna versus the Twins as he helped the Tigers to a win, going 2 for 3 with 2 runs, a home run, 2 RBI, and a walk. He's up to 3 home runs on the year. The one on Friday traveled 374 feet with a 101.2 mile per hour exit velocity. One of the most consistent and underappreciated contributors in the outfield for the last few years, Canna has gotten off to a hot start in Detroit. He's gotten back to being patient and looks to be hitting the ball in the air more often, which has allowed Canna to hit for more power. After watching his home run output decrease in each of the last 4 full seasons, maybe Canna can cross the 15 home run threshold for the first time since 2021. Canna's hot start has also vaulted him into the 2 spot in the lineup, which should provide him plenty of run scoring opportunities in the future. Jesse Winker had a big game in Oakland, but the Nationals still went home with a loss. Winker was perfect at the plate, going 4-for-4 with a run, a home run, a double, and an RBI. It was his first home run of the year and traveled 387 feet with a 101.6 mph exit velocity. Is it Jesse Winker comeback season? Feels like ages since he batted 305 with 24 long balls in 2021, but maybe this low-stakes opportunity in the nation's capital will give Winker the platform to get his career back on track. The outfielder struggled mightily with injuries in his lone year in Milwaukee last year, appearing in just 61 games, and that came a year after he posted just 0.6 F4 in his stint in Seattle. As a defensive liability of sorts, Winker has even more pressure to make an impact at the plate, and with fewer chances at the plate due to his troubles with southpaws, Winker could struggle to get into a groove. However, the Nationals have allowed Winker to get in the lineup versus lefties, and he's repaid them by batting 361 through 12 games. If Winker continues his renaissance campaign, he could also find himself in an improved lineup in August, as the Nationals are likely to get all they can from him in a trade this summer. And lastly, we have Lars Nootbaar in Arizona, as he helped the Cardinals to a win, going 1-for-4 with a run, a home run, two RBIs, and a walk. His home run traveled 438 feet, the fourth furthest home run of the day, with a 110.3 mph exit velocity. Nootbaar returned to the lineup with a bang, homering in his first game off the IL. The outfielder began the season on the IL with fractures in his ribcage. Ouch. Nootbaar proved no ill effects of the injury by announcing his presence at the plate with authority. He seems to be a healthy season away from truly breaking out. The last two seasons have been solid, but they feel underwhelming. Nootbaar has such an advanced approach at the plate and pairs that with burgeoning power, reflected in the 110 mph exit velocity of his dinger. And if the injury is truly behind him, Nootbaar could club 20 homers with double-digit steals like we saw last year while scoring 80 or more runs as he moves up the lineup in St. Louis. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Friday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Paul Blackburn versus the Nationals as he helped the A's to a win. He took the no decision, though, tossing 6 1/3 scoreless innings with just 5 hits and 2 walks allowed. He struck out 4 with 12 whiffs and a 23% CSW across 90 pitches. The kitchen sink approach worked once again for Blackburn. He had whiffs across 4 different pitches, with his cutter leading the way with 6. Blackburn has gotten off to an incredible start to the season with a perfect ERA spanning 3 starts in 19.1 innings. He's not dominating lineups, which is plain to see given his sub-16% strikeout rate, but he's avoiding hard contact and living on the edges with tons of different looks coming out of his hand. This is a clear Vargas rule, as Blackburn is sporting elite command, which is allowing him to get the most out of his arsenal. He's been lucky to take a stroll through the AL Central with starts against the Guardians and Tigers, being capped off by the easiest matchup of them all, against the Nationals. Blackburn gets the Cardinals next, and I think given his groove, you can start him there. I'm still debating, though, whether holding him for that start is worth it in standard 12-team leagues. I'm leaning towards drop, because if he does get picked up by a league mate prior to his next start, you shouldn't sweat the move, given we don't really expect to hold him throughout the year. Blackburn's just on a hot stretch right now. Next, we have Christopher Sanchez versus the Pirates, as he took a tough luck loss, tossing 6 innings, allowing 4 hits and just 1 earned run with 3 walks and 6 strikeouts. Sanchez induced 14 whiffs with a 30% CSW across 91 pitches. And after displaying increased velocity across the spring and in his first 2 starts, Sanchez was back at his 2023 levels on Friday. It didn't seem to matter, though, as he was still able to keep the Pirates at bay, pun intended. Sanchez's changeup was lethal with 8 whiffs and a 36% CSW, while his slider chipped in for 3 whiffs on just 12 offerings. Sanchez is a PLV darling, as his arsenal is reminiscent of Logan Webb. With more volume in 2024, Sanchez could be a reliable Holly, sporting decent ratios with a strikeout rate that will help more than it hurts. Expect more wins on the horizon for the Southpaw, as he has a dangerous lineup backing him in Philadelphia. Sanchez will take on the Rockies outside of Coors in his next outing, a clear start in my books. And last, we have Andrew Abbott on the south side of Chicago, as he earned the win, tossing 7 innings, allowing just 4 hits with 1 run. He walked nobody while striking out 3. On the day, he had 8 whiffs and a 25% CSW across 103 pitches. Abbott is beginning his 2024 the same way he began his career. The Southpaw debuted with 3 consecutive scoreless starts in 2023, and while he hasn't been unscathed this year, Abbott has found a way through smoke and mirrors to produce a sub-3 ERA through his first 3 starts, and it does not feel believable at all. Not only has Abbott been heavily reliant on batted ball luck due to his sub-16% strikeout rate, a metric that sat above above 26% last year. But also, his repertoire success speaks to that being more the status quo than poor luck. His fastball, sweeper, and change each failed to reach 30% CSW on Friday as his secondaries failed to land in the zone. It forced Abbott to become heavily reliant on a below-average fastball, with which he sits in the middle of the zone far too often. With Lodolo joining the rotation, the Reds will run a six-man group for a while. However, this feels like a testing ground. There will likely be a point where one member is relegated to the bullpen or the minors. Nick Martinez seems to be the likeliest candidate for that, given his experience in the bullpen, but Abbott is in the running alongside Graham Ashcraft to be demoted to the minors if they struggle. Abbott will pitch in Seattle in his next outing, and I'm not trusting him there despite the pitcher-friendly ballpark. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. We'll start it off with Pete Fairbanks, who earned his third save of the year. He got off to a rocky start this year, but has settled down in his last two outings, so he should be fine in the closer role for the time being. David Bednar notched his second save with a perfect ninth. He also got off to a rough start, but he also looks to be getting back on track. Ryan Stanek locked down his second save. He now has as many saves as Andrés Muñoz, the presumed closer, and he pitched the eighth in a high leverage situation. I'd say you got to get used to this. The Mariners have a plethora of trustworthy late inning options, especially with Matt Brash returning and Gregory Santos on the horizon. So Scott Servais won't be shy to deploy Munoz to put out fires prior to the ninth inning. And lastly, we have Ryan Helsley, who recorded his fifth save, tying him with Clay Holmes for the major league lead in that category. And now we'll check out the closers that pitched outside of safe situations or blew their saves. Kyle Finnegan surrendered a walk-off hit to the A's as he took the loss when the zombie runner scored. This shouldn't hurt Finnegan's standing, but Hunter Harvey impressed again with two punchouts in a perfect ninth and could be sneaking up on Finnegan. Danny Jimenez was used in a save situation in the ninth with Mason Miller banned from usage on consecutive days. Jimenez failed to secure the win, but he was bailed out by his offense. Jimenez seems to be the top options for saves when Miller is unavailable in Oakland. Evan Phillips pitched a clean ninth in a tie game. The Dodgers still lost, but Phillips got the job done. Robert Suarez earned the win in that game, securing the final four outs and extras to secure the victory for the Padres. Having not pitched for a couple of days, Josh Hader was utilized in the ninth with his team trailing by four. Don't get used to that. Jose Leclerc, who has gotten off to a slow start and may be at risk of being displaced as the Rangers closer, pitched the sixth inning on Saturday. It was likely a case of Bruce Bochy giving Leclerc a low leverage situation to regain some confidence. And if you're curious, which I am, David Robertson pitched the eighth and Kirby Yates pitched the ninth. My co-host on In the Pen, Rick Graham, Pitcherless Bullpen Podcast, suggested Yates would be the first man up at the closer role opened up, and that seems to be the correct assumption at the moment. But if you'd like a breakdown of the notable relief pitching performances from Friday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. And now we'll look forward to Saturday, April 13th, a day in which we'll have a packed day of 17 games featuring two doubleheaders, one between the Yankees and the Guardians and another between the Twins and the Tigers. My matchup of the day is Logan Webb versus Ryan Pepiot, and this could be a dominant, old-fashioned pitcher's duel. Both pitchers have great stuff and square off against struggling lineups that produced just three runs yesterday. In terms of probable starters, the auto start tier has seven guys, including both Webb and Pepiot. We also have Joe Ryan in Detroit, Shota Imanaga in Seattle, Chris Sale in Miami, Garrett Crochet versus the Reds, and Mackenzie Gore in Oakland. Our probably starts tier has nine guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Bowden Francis versus the Rockies. This could turn into a piggyback start depending on the plan for Yariel Rodriguez, but if Francis has the reins taken off, he could dominate the Rockies outside of Coors. I'd also keep an eye out for Ryne Nelson versus the Cardinals. He survived the Braves his last time out, and now he gets a respite against the Cardinals, and he's shown improved velocity and a nasty cutter that could help him take down that lineup. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'll be targeting Guardians hitters versus Cody Poteet in his first major league start since 2022. Will Brennan is a good streaming candidate given his penchant for contact and the high likelihood of a stolen base while being a left-handed hitter versus a right-handed starter. I'd also keep an eye out for Astros hitters versus Andrew Heaney. Offense was very easy to come by on Friday in Houston, and the right-handed heavy Astros lineup should pounce on Andrew Heaney. Jake Myers is batting ninth, but he's shown decent pop this year with two home runs already, and he owns a 111 WRC Plus versus lefties for his career. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. We just have one. Pete Fairbanks has pitched in three of the past 4 days, but so has Jason Adam. The Rays are never afraid to turn anyone standing in that bullpen into that day's closer, so there's really no guessing who could close out a potential save on Saturday. The rest of the closers in baseball are well rested and should be free to pitch all weekend. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.